The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can get us on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real, at my name Jong, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You miss the first hour. Talked a little Tom Herman. Talked a little football from yesterday. We'll get to all
football.
Of it. Yeah, we'll get to all of it.
Plenty more where that came from, as they say.
Yeah, Ehab has just got the best obscure movie reference probably of the week, and it's only Monday. Talking about the girls you were talking to in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
He says she probably thought you were Miklo from Blood In, Blood Out.
Yeah, that's where I learned Spanish from.
That is a perfect reference, sir.
That's why I always say carnal. That's where I learned that. I don't know anybody who ever says that. Yeah. I just saw it in the movies.
Yeah, just underrated movie.
Blood In, Blood Out and Cheech and Chong are basically the basis of my Spanish. And it's serviceable, at least. I mean, for a gringo, I get a lot further with my Spanish than some. You know?
See.
Si. Yeah.
832 says he's headed to Dallas for a new job. And he'll be listening on the app. Do you know anywhere to go or things to see? There is a culture map up there. There's a Dallas culture map that's really good.
But the office is really boring. You don't want to stop there.
Not the Culture Map office, no.
Oh, you're telling me to look at Culture
no,
Map.
No, he was asking, is there anything on Culture Map about Dallas? And yeah, there's
gotcha.
We have a Culture Map Dallas. So
gotcha.
It'll keep you up. I don't think they're as good as Culture Map Houston because I'm a little biased.
They're secondary. Second-rate Culture Maps.
But they do a good job with that site, so they'll keep you up to date on everything. And there's things to do in Dallas. I make fun of Dallas a lot, but yeah, if I lived there, I'd probably be okay. I wouldn't love it, but I'd find enough to do.
All right.
Although the older I get, man, the less stuff I want to do. This is getting I'm turning into don't leave the house guy.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, I blame you.
Why?
I don't know. Well, part of it, I blame the job because not this part of the job, but usually by Saturday now, I'm so wiped from doing sports map stuff all week. I don't want to leave the house. I just want to sit there and sit on my couch, drink really good beer. Watch football, lose money betting.
It's a good day.
It's pretty much could be a better day if I didn't lose the money. But
my yesterday, in fact.
Yeah, and you know, I did. I mentioned I had my friends in. I did take them out to dinner last night after the loss, and they were pretty depressed, and kind of showed them a few places around that we like to hang out. And we kind of, you know, they're like, oh, well, can we go to some of these other bars? I'm like, well, you guys can go.
I'm good.
I'm going to go home. I have my burger. I'm going to chill and watch the night game. That's what I wound up doing. But it was kind of funny listening to their accents, because they're about as
they're hosers.
They're as Canadian as it gets, man. Yeah. Oh, geez, what a horrible pass, eh? Who taught him that? This coach has got to go. After about an hour, I'm like, okay, all right, guys, enough. I get enough of this when I go up there. So Denny sent us something about somebody was shot after a fight in the parking lot at the Bombshells in Northwest Houston.
Oh no!
Great,
great.
Glad we weren't there when that happened.
Yeah.
So.
That's too bad. I'm against shooting.
Yeah, we shouldn't shoot people.
Yeah.
We should be nice to people. I'm a firm believer that if you have a disagreement over something, if you can't handle it responsibly, go get in a boxing ring.
Yeah.
Do it legally. Soccer Bilal says, 832, hit me up. I need a fellow blitzer in Dallas. There's some blitzers up there. I know a few who've had to move up there.
Yep.
Yeah, I was trying to think.
Sucks for them. But.
The last time I was in Dallas, I think was, well, you weren't there. It was for one of the fights. There was a Canelo fight, and
you
were somewhere else. And I actually had a decent time there, but I had a friend living there at the time that I was hanging out with. So
I think the last time I was up there was probably last summer when I was doing the barbecue tour.
Ah. Well, and didn't you call some fights up there or something at one time?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done some work up there, but yeah, it's not my favorite spot. Let's leave it at that. I got family up there too.
All right, you want to go through some of the NFL games from yesterday?
Yeah, let's do that.
We have not had a chance to hit yet. It was a day we talked about a little bit. The AFC South looks a little more interesting to me with the Colts winning and the Titans winning, because I don't think anybody would have expected the Titans to have won that football game. But we'll start with your Bears, now 6-3. They win it 34-22. The Lions could have backdoored them there at the end.
They tried. Because I thought they were going to get the patented Matt Stafford junk time touchdown.
Yeah, which it Bears with two missed field goals and two extra points. That would have been a real moose if you were on the Bears side.
No doubt. Well, but what that tells you is it should have been 42-22. And it was a blowout. And trust me, I was on Lions plus 7, so I thought as well that this game would be close. But I'm not sure if it's more of an indictment of the Lions or we need to just start respecting what the Bears are doing, because the last 3 weeks, and granted, all three wins, and most of the Bears' wins, in fact, are not against good teams. So it was Bills, Jets, and Lions. But every week I was like, God, this Lions line, or this Bears line is just too high. I didn't bet on the Bills or Jets because they're the Bills and the Jets. But the Lions, I was like, man, it just seems too long. And the Bears keep getting it done. Now, Bills, Jets, Lions, Cardinals, Bucks, home Seahawks. Like, that's their win. Home Seahawks is their best win of the year.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if they're really good yet, but they're definitely above average at this point.
And I was saying all along I thought they'd get better as the season went on. And maybe that's the case. Maybe that's what's happening. And Trubisky's getting more and more comfortable with Nagy. And, they're looking pretty good. Tell you who else is looking pretty good. Second week in a row, they score on their first five possessions. The Saints go in and just crush the Bengals.
The Saints are a monster right now, and I've been hesitant to crown them as one of the best in the league, but I don't think there's no denying it now. They are so good on offense. Their defense is better than it was. I keep thinking back to that week one against the Bucks.
Yeah, when they got Brian Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, and I was like, man, how good can they be? Well, they've figured it out.
Yeah, they have,
and they are indeed one of the elite teams in the league. I think that you saw yesterday. The Bengals really missed AJ Green, but you know, I don't think AJ Green was worth 38 points.
Yeah, I'm not sure 3 AJ Greens would have made up for that unless he was playing defense at some point.
Yeah,
but I think at some point Drew Brees needs to be in the MVP conversation.
Oh,
too.
I think he is. I think it's right now Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, and Todd Gurley are the conversation.
Browns beat the Falcons 28-6.
So you're telling me that a weekend came where I didn't bet on the Falcons.
I did.
And you did.
Yeah, and I'm lucky I have anything to sit on right now.
That never happens, usually.
Yeah, well, if I bet on the Falcons or the Ravens and you don't,
that should be a sign.
Something is wrong with the world. And the Falcons just didn't play well. And I was reading today, a couple of players even said, well, it's the Browns. How fired up are you going to be?
Yeah, but
and that's,
man,
you can't do that. I mean,
it's the NFL, bro.
You're a 500 team.
Yeah.
If you're a 500 team, you can't go thinking, oh, well, it's the Browns. We're going to just win this game.
So, is
Nick Chubb with a big game,
yes, 8.8 yards per carry, 176 yards. Is that a good day for a running back?
Well, if you take away that 90-yard carry of his, it's not that good.
That 92-yard touchdown run?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
You don't really take those away.
No,
you don't. That one counted.
Yeah, he had a big game, and the Browns are now 3-6-1. Good for them.
And honestly, you know, we talked about this all year. We've talked about this the past few weeks. As bad as the Falcons have been, Matt Ryan continues to be great. And yesterday was no exception. Matt Ryan was good.
Yeah.
It's just the defense and the team around him is just not doing him any favors.
No, and they just looked a little disjointed, and that's what happens with an indoor team playing outside a lot of times.
Unless you're the Saints.
Unless you're the Saints, who they're an unstoppable force right now.
My goodness.
Your Titans over the Patriots, 34-10. I don't think anybody saw that.
Everyone saw that coming. Everyone knew that Derrick Henry was going to score two touchdowns and Corey Davis was going to find the end zone for the second time in his entire NFL career. Everyone knew it was coming at the Patriots' expense because – oh, wait, no? You didn't think that? Yeah. This was a weird game. And if you told me, okay – The Patriots couldn't run the ball, and they couldn't. Nobody ran the ball. They averaged 2.1 yards per carry yesterday. I would have said, okay, Brady had a day. Tom Brady kind of sucked yesterday. And I'm not just talking about, like, fantasy points. I'm talking about, like, he sucked. His QBR was 29.5. He was just a smidge over a 50% passer yesterday. It was just a bad day, and I don't know really what to attribute it to. I don't think that Mike Vrabel was throwing things at him that he'd never seen before, but
it's what they made it sound like. It's like, oh, we kind of knew how to stop him. It's like, well, you can say that when you do, but you know, it was just that the Patriots just dropped a big steaming pile there.
Yeah,
and
pretty much.
It happens. I mean, they've done that before, and they come back just fine. But you know, the Titans, I do think, well, I'll say this. Marcus Mariota, much better receiver than Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think so.
Speaking of the AFC South, your beloved Colts beat the Jaguars 29-26. And I'm going to go on record here and say, well, the Jags actually had a chance late in this game, and they fumbled it away. And they tried to get a playoff, and it looked like they did before it got reviewed. But good for the refs for stopping it and actually reviewing it and getting the call right. But Colts get the win. They're now 4-5. And
I think they're dangerous, too.
I do, too. And I was telling you before the show, if they run off 5-6 more in a row, Andrew Luck has to join that conversation, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it's sort of a long shot because of how deep of a hole the team has dug. And when you think about the other guys I mentioned, they're playing for one-loss teams.
Right.
But Andrew Luck is having a really incredible season. And I know there were a lot of people who doubted him. But at this point, you got to be like, okay, he's back. He's pretty good again. And like you said, the first couple weeks you were iffy about it. Well, now you don't have to be iffy anymore. The old Andrew Luck, the Colts did a really smart thing by sitting him out for a full season.
Yeah.
And it sucked for the organization because they were a horrible team. But
they were able to get a really good guard out of it, though.
Yep. And that you mentioned to me 3 weeks since Andrew Luck's taken a sack.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. That's scary.
Yeah,
if Andrew Luck's not under pressure, teams are in trouble.
I don't know which was more bizarre. Well, that's not really bizarre. That just means they're doing a really good job. The other stat that I thought was the most bizarre of the day, the Buccaneers putting up 500 yards of offense and scoring 3 points.
How crazy is that?
I mean, it's almost impossible,
it
right?
It really is.
But, yeah, that, that We'll get to that game in a minute. What do I have here, John? Oh, we're just going to go to break? Okay, cool. Well, let's just go to break. We'll do the rest of the games when we come back. Don't go anywhere. We are live at Jack's on Shepherd. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Jack's Grill. Come on out and join us. You don't want to be driving out in that mess right now. It's raining. It's cold. You want to come in here and get a beer and some good food and chill.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
By the way, when we finish up with these scores, I want to give you my craziest stat from the weekend.
Okay.
And see how it compares to yours.
Okay.
I'll let you decide which one's crazier.
We were talking a little bit about the Buccaneers and the Redskins. Redskins grind out a 16-3 win, mainly because the Bucs kept turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Shocker. Two interceptions and a fumble for Fitzpatrick. He throws for 406, they rush for 103, and they score three whopping points.
Yeah, they just don't have that's going to play. And that's sort of what they were hoping to get away from when they got Jameis out of there, was that he was throwing too many interceptions. But
that's always been Fitzpatrick, too.
These guys are going to turn the ball over. They don't have a quarterback who's going to protect the football, so how good can they really be?
Chiefs beat the Cardinals 26-14. Hey, the Cardinals covered.
They covered. They covered. I didn't play him because I was waiting for 17, which never came. Stayed at 16.5.
Tariq Hill might be the best weapon in football right now.
He's up there for sure.
That guy is just amazing in space, and they use him so well. But give the Cardinals credit. They didn't play like garbage.
No, they were all right.
I'll tell you who did play like garbage. The New York football Jets.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, the lowly Bills stomped a hole in them, and it was like – I mean, the Bills scored their first touchdown in like the first 40 seconds of the game.
And they're up 31-3 at the half.
I mean, they took a dump on those guys. I mean, an ass whooping.
And remember before we were talking about how LeSean McCoy had done the last two games before that. He'd been terrible. 113 yards and a couple touchdowns. And Matt Barkley, of all the trash they've trotted out their quarterback this year, Matt Barkley's looked like the best one.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked. He didn't turn the ball over. I mean, that's all you can ask if you're Buffalo at this point. Is like, hey, don't let the other team score points on defense. Okay, I'll do my best. And you know, Matt Barkley, kudos to him. I mean, he's obviously not a long-term answer, but if I'm the Bills, I play him for the rest of the season until he gets hurt.
Yeah, he'll get hurt too. We were talking about the Bengals game a little bit earlier. Bengals have given up 500 yards in three straight games. Guess who's gone? Defensive coordinator.
Yeah, probably smart move.
Yeah, Chargers beat the Raiders 20-6. No real shock there.
Yeah, I regretted not betting that one. Yeah, that's probably my biggest regret of the week.
And you know, the game wound up being kind of close at halftime.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's why I wasn't feeling too bad about not doing it. But the Raiders have just quit. Now they've got all kinds of messes going on there, and you know, Derek Carr in the locker room and everything else. It's just, you know, nice job there, Gruden. You've done a really good job. Packers beat the Dolphins 31-12. This is another one where I really wanted to bet the Dolphins and then chickened out. And it was looking pretty good for a while, and then the Packers pull away.
Yeah, their offense is so bad. And Brock Osweiler came out to the podium and he said, "Team's got to play better. I've got to play better." Where have we ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Every Brock Osweiler press conference when he was here.
But when it starts working, AJ, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be amazing. It's just not. He's not a good football player. We got to stop with this.
Rams-Seahawks. The Rams get the victory. Seahawks covered, more importantly. But
they did. Now,
Cooper Kupp gone for the year, though.
Yeah, that's a big loss for the Rams. That's
Ram defense can be a little bit shaky at times, man.
Well, since week four, they've gone kind of downhill. They were killing it early in the season.
Sure, Wade Phillips' second go round.
Yeah, I think so, but yeah, luckily for the Rams, they've got tons of offense, and they did. if I'm not mistaken, this was like the fourth game this season where the Rams have scored a defensive touchdown. They didn't score. It was right after the. Yeah, he did. He scored that touchdown, right? The Fowler, he scored on that play. Or did they get down at the one?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, they called him back. So it wasn't a defensive touchdown. But basically, the defense scored that touchdown on a strip sack.
That wasn't going to be your odds stat, was it?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Good. Because it just.
No, mine comes from an FCS football game.
Interesting. Interesting. And then, of course, last night, Cowboys beat the Eagles 27-20. And, how about give the ball to Zeke Elliott?
Yeah.
Kind of works, huh?
Just all the time. If I'm Dak Prescott and everybody's like, dude, you suck. Quit throwing the ball. I just look behind me and I see the dude who's got like a nose ring. And I'm like, oh, this is what I'm putting my lot in. Yeah, that's what you got to go with. Just keep giving it to the dude with the nose ring. He dominated that game last night. And every time it looked like the Eagles were about to start rolling, Cowboys would just come back and score a touchdown. Yeah. And you're like, where's this offense been all year long? So a weird game, but that's a good win for the Cowboys.
Especially on the road for them to offensively be able to do that. It was and I guess Darby's now out for the year for the Eagles too. So lots of injuries is.
And that, I mean, it was a touchdown saving tackle by that Van Der Esch kid. Or maybe not a touchdown, but a first down saving tackle that would have extended the game. And then they get the stop on fourth down on the next play, which, by the way, horrible play call on fourth down, even though Zach Ertz almost got the first down anyway, but they were throwing so short of the stick. It was just what are you going to do? But Zach Ertz did have a monster day on the other side. It was the Zeke Elliott versus Zach Ertz show, basically.
Yeah, and both teams now 4-5, so.
And still looking up at the overrated Redskins. And
does that change?
Wide open division.
Speaking of which, do you see the initial line on that game for the Texans and Redskins?
No.
Texans minus 2.5.
That game's here?
No, it's in Washington.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll have to see what the injury report looks like for the Redskins because they're so banged up. But didn't seem to bother them too much this week.
No. Although
of course,
they were
benefiting from a bunch of turnovers.
Yeah, they did give up an awful lot of yards.
Yeah.
But there you go. Those are NFL games from yesterday. And what was that? Oh, okay.
Well, can I give you my...
you were talking about the...
You want my weird stat before we go to
break? Let's do your weird stat.
So, Davidson, the Wildcats, they have a football team.
Okay.
Solid basketball school, but they have a football team. This was their rushing line for the game yesterday against San Diego. 15 for 231 for Wes Duggar. William Wicks was 19 for 197. Tyler Phelps, 17 carries, 153 yards. Keelan Brown, 8 carries, 150 yards. So if you're keeping track, that's 4 running backs who had over 150 yards rushing, 1 who had over 200 yards rushing. Eli Turner came in. He had 9 carries for 51 yards. And then James Story had 3 for 5. Pat Tabor, who he went ahead and ran 2 times for 2 yards. So all totaled, that was 789 rushing yards in an American football game. They also scored 7 touchdowns via the run.
Sounds like Temple.
They lost 56-52. What? Anthony Lawrence, the San Diego quarterback, 556 yards and 7 touchdowns. How crazy. 789 rushing yards and you lose? Have you ever heard of such a thing?
God, I don't
know. At any level of football?
Usually crazy. If you're the team that's running the ball and you're running for that much, you win the football
you
game.
You win.
Yeah. Yeah, even if a passing team is going off on you.
Yep.
Well, what do we have here?
Tri-Eagle Energy, I got to tell you about. Listen, if you are unhappy with your energy company, and a lot of people are, there's a lot of providers out there. They offer, pie-in-the-sky type things, and you go, oh, that sounds awesome. Then you sign up, and then a couple months later you find out, wait, I got free weekends, or I got free days, or I got this cash bonus, but my rate is way higher than you said it was going to be. What's going on with that? Well, you know where that doesn't happen? Tri-Eagle Energy. They're not throwing any additional fees on your bill. The rate you see is the rate that you pay. Simple as that. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. Just good, honest business from a good, honest, born-in-Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE, or TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN, PUCT license number 10064.
So, guys, you know what's not smart? Probably following my picks. That's not smart at all. You know what is smart? ZipRecruiter. And let me tell you, there are job sites that will send you tons of the wrong resumes to sort through. That is not smart. But you know what is smart? Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/play, and you can hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why they're ranked number one by employers in the U.S. And right now, Blitzers can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/play. That's ZipRecruiter.com/play. ZipRecruiter.com/play. Not smart? Adding Carmelo Anthony to your team. Smart ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Jack's Grill on Shepherd. Come on out. Not too far from I-10. Very easy to find. And especially if you're a veteran, they've got free entrees for you today. So,
can't beat that.
No, you can't. And by the way, food here really, really good. Speaking of good food, our good friend Lance Slugger Zuerlein is in studio after his ordeal on Saturday night, which I saw Culture Map has written about.
Friday night.
What's up, man?
That was Friday night.
Friday night. Okay.
Yeah, we got. We could have used AJ there.
I want to hear about you being the hero.
No, I mean, it's typical hero stuff. No big deal. Yeah, just
like,
basically.
What'd you do? Did you use like a ninja move?
I mean, I defused the situation. I got to a couple pressure points.
You defused the situation verbally or physically?
Well, it was kind of a combination. I was like, you know, stop, and then you go to pressure points. You know how it goes. You go to pressure points. And, you know, there's some. We didn't have to go to chokes. It's just basically there's some different areas that can slow down the kidney and just. You know, seizes up the lungs. You know what I'm talking about.
Did you
about.
Learn this from YouTube?
It's on there, yeah. I mean, okay. it's on a Street Fight, Instant Karma Volume 47, I think.
So, was this guy wasted?
Yeah, no, in all seriousness, he was wasted. He was he was pissed because he couldn't get served. He came in there wasted, and so, you know, what I found to be a good tactic is his wife, who was also wasted. At one point, when he was talking to the chef and the GM, and they were basically saying, you're not going to get served, and there was a little bit of a standoff, and I guess he got lippy, and the wife didn't like it or whatever, so she turned and slapped her husband in the face. And I always find that to be something that really, you know, just really calms things down and doesn't cause any extra problems.
Guys love when that happens.
That's yeah, like I don't think it was embarrassing for him at all. I don't think it helped to light the fuse even more. When she did that, so
in public especially, that's
in public and headed out the door, he had a little choice words and words were said, and all of a sudden he's lunging and throwing punches and I give the GM credit, man, he went with a quick headlock to the ground on that guy, and the guy was about, I don't know, about 6'1" 6'1", probably about 205 of good lean muscle mass. Now this is a strong dude. And a couple of us jumped. I pulled the chef off of him because chef's an old hockey player. Like, he's ready to go. He was like, ah, it's great. I get to throw punches for free. You know, so, you know, in what I assume is a Canadian accent.
Right.
And so I was trying to, you know, basically keep things cool. I mean, you got a whole restaurant. The restaurant was full. It was 10:15, but it's not a huge restaurant, but it's a good restaurant. The restaurant was full. we're trying to keep it cool, keep it from spilling into the crowd, like spilling into the tables, because it did knock over the hostess stand. And, man, from there, the guy just went bananas. He got outside. They locked the door so he couldn't come in. His wife was still in there. And because they were, like, you know, worried for her. Oh, yeah, she also slapped him in the face again after he got up after scrapping. And so that was another one. I think that's really what made people say, we're really worried because you keep slapping him in the face.
Did you get a discount on your meal?
No, but, I mean, he was sending some food out to us anyway, Chef was. We, so, you know, a couple of the guys here already knew him. Well, no, because McCool, one of my friends, my friend from Belize, was in town and may spend money. They order so much food and drinks anyway. It's like, you know, Chef will just throw you this or that. But we did a couple shots with him. I mean, you know, of course, after the melee, we had to go do shots of old granddad, OGD, which I didn't even know was a thing. And I know it's a thing now after that rot gut bourbon. But you know what? But here's the great part, though. He goes outside. He's locked out, and he goes into full Hulk mode and starts punching the glass as hard as he can. And, I mean, this must be pretty thick glass because it didn't shatter. And then he started storming away down the sidewalk, and I'm like, uh-oh, this has a mass shooting feel to it. And I started getting really concerned, and luckily right then the cops rolled up. And, you know the routine. He ends up getting cuffed eventually, smarts off. His wife's taping everything with a cell phone. Like, can you stop instigating? Danny ends up kicking the cops a few times and so this, dog cussing them.
So in my experience,
took almost an hour and a half, by the way, to get him out of there.
That's crazy, because normally if you land a couple good punches, usually that will defuse the situation immediately. Like last year I was at a Texans game. And went out to the blue lot post game to have a few beers with my buddies. And there was a fight broke out. And there was clearly a really wasted guy who was at fault. And a guy who was clearly like trying to defuse it, but unsuccessfully. So I just kind of snuck up behind this guy and threw a rear naked choke on. And held it until he started tapping my shoulder. And then I held it a little bit longer until he went all the way to sleep. And then when he got up, he didn't want to fight anyone anymore. Like, that was the end of the situation altogether. It was like, okay, well.
Well, we didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't see any, like, he landed a little bit on the chef, but we kind of were keeping it cool. Like, I don't think there were too many punches land. There was kind of a melee going on without a bunch of punches land. The cops didn't do anything to him. Like, they, you know,
so
I thought.
You say it was like a baseball fight?
No. He was trying. He was trying, but he was being restrained. This guy wasn't wasted like vodka wasted. It was almost like he had a little extra something. You know what I mean? Like, he had a little extra. Like, he kept his same energy for over an hour, headbutting the glass in the cop car, trying to kick out the windows, kicking cops, like. This wasn't, you know, I don't throw the word PCP around lightly, but it had kind of an Angel Dusty vibe to it. But it's like, it's 2018, so I know it's not Angel Dust, and the guy isn't a biker.
I mean, it's possible. You never know. He could just be cleaned up really nice.
Could have been meth. I guess people do
but
meth.
No way a biker's old lady would slap him in the face and
No. That wouldn't happen. And we ended up finding out who the guy is, and he's not the kind of guy that should be doing stuff like this. It was just dumb, you know.
What kind of guy is the guy who's supposed to be
doing
stuff like that?
I mean, bikers. You know, bikers, I suppose, but yeah, it was interesting. He got arrested. Charges included assaulting a peace officer, which I always find to be a poor choice.
Yeah, I'm against that.
Yeah, it's usually a bad call. Typically, bad call to hit a cop.
They kept their. I can tell you, we kicked them, but I can tell you, they kept their cool more than probably I would have. I was like, you should rough them up a little bit here and slow this thing down.
What was the guy white?
Yeah, so Dell already said.
Well, you knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, Dell already said this morning when we told the story. Dell's like, oh, yeah, that thing could have gone off for 2.5 hours, no problems.
Yeah. Well, what'd you take away from the weekend in the NFL? I want to congratulate you, Lance, first of all, before I ask you that question.
What about?
I want to congratulate you on not being last place in the pool anymore.
Is that why Jong was asking about how I did?
Yeah, you went 1-1. Jong went 0-1-1, and you now have a half game lead over
nice.
Jong.
I'm going to extend it this week. Good job, Philly. Good job, Eagles. Nice job. What a bunch of dumbasses. You win a Super Bowl, you come off of beating Jacksonville, which obviously doesn't matter at all anymore. And then you have a bye, you know, you come off a London win there, you have a bye week to prepare for Dallas, and that's what you do at home?
That's
really?
Move. Yeah.
Terrible.
What was your biggest takeaways from the weekend at
well,
the NFL?
I don't know that. I'm not sure the Colts and the Titans are going to be a real friendly matchup here at NRG Stadium. I mean, you know, the Colts keep coming on. They're playing much, much better football. I talked about this with, you know, John focuses on the decision of Frank Reich to go for the win, which eventually cost his team a loss. I mean, that's bottom line. There's no way around that. But I think what he was trying to do was say, we're not going to be a team, you know, we're going to play fearless football. We're looking at the long-term, you know, ramifications of trying to play winning football. And I don't think, and not only did it not hurt that team, I think that team has responded pretty well since that loss to the Texans. And there, I mean, Andrew Luck is not fun to play against. Now T.Y. Hilton is back. That game is going to be a challenging game. And the Titans just dog-whipped the New England Patriots. So clearly that one is not going to be, you know, a very easy matchup as well. So I think those are two interesting matchups for the Houston Texans, clearly, when they come in town. Jacksonville, the bullies got punched in the mouth, and they you know, they're opening up a can of quit. I mean, I don't even know what to say about them.
Pretty wild. I thought maybe with Fournette coming back, they'd have some life in them. But, and I guess they did sort of. I mean, Fournette played well, just nobody else did.
You know, Drew, here's what I really took away from watching that game. Blake Bortles had a wind-up whenever he was in college, and they tried to – it's gotten worse. I know it was referred to as a what are the carnival rides, the big
Ferris wheel?
Yeah, Ferris wheel delivery. And that made sense. It is the slowest, longest delivery I've seen, and he doesn't have a big arm either. So you just cannot win with Blake Bortles at quarterback. I don't know how they did it last year. But they're not going to do it this year. And the other thing I take away is I guess I'm just kind of wondering when people are really going to 100% buy into the Saints. I mean, they beat the Rams at home. They keep covering the number, which, you know, let's face it, is really, really important. And that Saints team just – that looked like a team that came back hungrier from last year's, you know, from last season's debacle. And they are ready to roll this year. And I'm – boy, they got Mark Ingram back. The defense is playing better now. That is really, I guess they're the best team in the NFL. I don't know that I've felt that way necessarily, but I think they might be if you're just being honest about it and you look at all three phases.
So if you said Rams, Saints, or Chiefs, Saints on a neutral, you'd take the Saints over both?
From a number standpoint, like what the number is or who would I take? Yeah, I think.
If they called it a pick 'em, who would you take?
I'm still going to take Saints, and I'll tell you why. I think the loss of Cooper Kupp hurts the Rams from a wide receiver standpoint, from an offensive standpoint. So you have two plus running backs over there in New Orleans, which I think is an advantage. One of them can flex out. The Rams have a very, very good one, but I think Malcolm Brown is just kind of a guy behind Todd Gurley. You lost Cooper Kupp. So I'm starting to lean a little bit towards the Saints, even though I think the Rams, you know, are still more talented.
What do you think about what the Rams have become defensively? Any concerns?
Yeah, I do, and I don't think they're not as good on the back end as people were expecting them to be. I think they're a little bit more inconsistent with the pass rush than probably people thought they would be with Wade Phillips. So I think that is a big concern. You looked at what happened to them against what's been several. You mentioned what they've become. Well, what have they become against the Saints? They couldn't stop anybody. So I think that is a big concern. If you think about who the best teams are right now, the three that you mentioned, all explosive offensively. Well, at some point, and it's not like the Saints held up against the Rams, let's be honest there. And it's not like Kansas City has a great defense. But I think it's just who can step up and rise to the challenge in any given half. I would say maybe even any given quarter. But any given half, that could be the difference when any of those three teams square up against each other. But they feel like the big three. I mean, New England is losing steam, and I'm not sure there's anyone else from the AFC that I buy into all the way.
You're not buying into Pittsburgh? Because I was going to say Pittsburgh may be getting into that conversation for me.
They are. The way that they've been playing, they've been pretty serious. I guess I just have to see Ben Roethlisberger stay healthy, and I have to see James Conner finish out the season because he's a grinder, and the more carries that he gets, you know, I just wonder how he's going to hold up as the cold weather sets in and he keeps adding tread to the tires. I'm kind of curious to see how he does once December hits.
Lance, looking at this Washington Texans game, did your opinion change anything from what you saw out of the Redskins, who gave up 500 yards but only 3 points?
Not really. I'm not a big Redskins fan. I've seen, you know, I think they've had some. I faded them a couple of times with success. I just think they're kind of an average team, and I don't think that's, you know, they need to win turnover battle against you. I think the Texans are going to be in a tough matchup. I thought it was the same thing with the Broncos. I thought Texans would be in a tough one there, and I think they'll be in a tough one against the Redskins. I think Ryan Kerrigan will bring a lot of heat against the Texans, and, you know, of course, when you look at them offensively, that's not a very explosive Redskins team, so I think it's going to be a lower-scoring game. But I still think the Texans off a bye week, it'll be a big advantage for them. And I just, you know, I like the Texans' ability with Demaryius Thomas coming off a bye week, having that type of receiver who has former wide receiver one skills. I think he's going to translate into a solid wide receiver two, and I think the Texans will just have too much for that secondary. Josh Norman is a shell of what he used to be. So, you know, I can't like him in the matchup against either one of those receivers for the Texans.
What'd you think of the I know you bet on your you bet on the Eagles, but what do we make of the Cowboys, man? I mean, this I 1 week they just look terrible, the next week they come out and get a big win. They finally decided to give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. What the hell are the Cowboys?
Well, I don't know why they haven't, you know, what took them so long to start putting the ball in the hands of their best player, but that's on them. It kind of tells you a little bit about Jason Garrett. I mean, sometimes these guys just try to get too cute, and this is what happens. You end up being a 500 team. And what I take from it is the same thing you do, Fred. I don't know how anyone could take anything else but that from them. Some games Dak is going to be solid. Other games he won't. Some games they'll get Ezekiel Elliott fully integrated into the offense and really ride on him, and other games they're not. That's why they're going to continue to be an inconsistent team. Defensively, they're sound. Offensively, they're inconsistent, and you know, in that, it might be good enough in that division. It might be good enough to win a division in that division if they can become a little bit more consistent. But they're not. You know, they're just kind of just another team in the NFC. There's such a separation. It was just like the Western Conference basketball, where it was the Rockets and the Warriors, and just everyone else was kind of a distant third. That's kind of what I feel is going on right now in the NFC.
Next week, I think the two best games are obviously the Sunday and Monday night games, Minnesota-Chicago and then yep. KC versus the Rams.
Yep.
But I think that the two games that are really interesting besides that, like on Sunday, I think Tennessee-Indy's interesting because it's going to mm-hmm. determine who the second-best team, and or at least who the Texans' biggest competition they're going to have to hold off is. But I think that Dallas-Atlanta matchup is fascinating because whoever loses that game is essentially not making the playoffs. Like, that's basically it. Like, you don't have a chance after that.
Yeah.
Although maybe Dallas has more of a chance because that division is not good. But Atlanta's in a clear must-win spot. And Dallas, you know, being tied – being behind the Redskins and then tied with the Eagles, they need a win pretty badly.
It's in Atlanta, isn't it?
In Atlanta.
Yeah, I like Atlanta there. I mean, but I agree with you. It is a big game for Atlanta. They need to hold serve at home. I think that's an improving Atlanta team. There's just too many weapons now for them not to go out and score what they need to score against Dallas. I just don't know if Dallas can keep up the pace offensively with them. I would agree with you about that. That Colts-Titans game is really an intriguing matchup. And, boy, that was a good game for Marcus Mariota, who has been just blah for most of the year. But how do you stop right now Andrew Luck and the merry band of tight ends? No, I don't know that anyone's thrown more touchdowns to tight ends than Andrew Luck has for quite some time. You probably have to go back to, you know, Tony Gonzalez days or Antonio Gates in his prime to find tight ends that were grabbing those kind of touchdown numbers, man. That is what Eric Ebron and Mo Alie-Cox – are doing right now is pretty serious over there in Tennessee.
Jack Doyle.
And even Jack Doyle. I mean, they got three guys catching touchdowns who are tight ends over there. It's kind of rare. And you look at those receivers, you think, ooh, these guys are gross. Well, I guess we'll just use all of our tight ends and T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, that's the move.
And then they got that bully Quentin Nelson who – you know, is the best offensive lineman that I had ever scouted. I mean, I just saw a guy who could just break you in half. And he was the offensive rookie of the month. The first time an offensive lineman has been that. It kind of speaks to the lack of, you know, flash in the skill positions for rookies, you know, frankly. But that guy is helping to make the Colts a real bully. So, it is a good one.
We were talking about the Colts and how Andrew Luck looks. He looks like prime Andrew Luck, and how brilliant it was for them to just basically forfeit a year and say, you know what, we're just going to stink this year. We're not going to be upset about it. We're going to get him completely right, because like you said, it also got them Quentin Nelson. So I mean, last year, if you'd say what'd you get out of this horrible season you had last year, well, we got our franchise quarterback back to playing like an elite level quarterback, and we got maybe the best offensive lineman in the draft. You got to feel pretty good about that. And since when have the Colts ever not been a team that gives up sacks? And Fred told me today, he told me the stat that Luck hasn't been sacked in three games.
No.
I mean,
and it's a rookie.
It's going to be hard to beat.
Well, and you know, I learned under Chris Ballard. That is my mentor, and he's the GM over there with the Colts. And I'm going to fly out there to go watch Colts and Titans. Actually, I'm going to be at that. It's kind of slipped my mind. I'm going to fly out there and go watch Colts Titans from Indy this week. I'm taking my son, who is, you know, Ballard is his godfather. But, his whole belief is you build the fronts. You build the defensive fronts and the offensive fronts. And so he went out and drafted Quentin Nelson. He drafted Braden Smith, who they have playing right tackle. And he made a decision last year with the medical staff that it wasn't worth it to rush Andrew Luck back. They just said, we'll fade the year and, you know, take the heat. We have a big picture plan, and the big picture plan involves Andrew Luck. So why in the world would we throw Andrew Luck in at 75% and hope he gets to 85% before he gets hurt again? And they put him, you know, and he – he went out and trained with the House, what's his name? The pit. I missed it there. What?
Yeah, Tom House.
Yeah, Tom House there. And they got his arms, you know, and all they did was work on his delivery to make his arm stronger, make his release point more consistent so he didn't do any damage to that shoulder that was already hurt. And, man, it's just made all the difference in the world. And that's how Ballard sees it. I mean, if you approach with a big picture – identity as a general manager, you got a chance to build something big. And I got to be honest with you, I think Brian Gain was smart with how he handled the offensive line stuff. There wasn't anyone out there by the third. He wasn't going to go out and spend a bunch of money on, you know, Nate Solder, who was declining. And he said, this isn't going to be a year process. This is going to take more time. And I thought he handled it with good patience in terms of addressing the offensive line. No one's happy about it, but he just felt like Rome couldn't be built in a day, and he had to make difficult choices about how he wanted to approach his team. And, you know, next year will be an offensive line year and a corner year.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. And if you want to read about his incident at Real, it's on Culture Map now. The best part, your buddy says the guy's wife called the restaurant the next day to ask where we towed her car.
Yeah.
I said he left it running with the doors open in the middle of the street.
She said, why did you tow a car? He said, the doors were open and it was running. Your car, you're lucky it didn't get stolen.
All right. Tell the people here about your friends over at Texas Star Foods.
Well, the Texas Star Grill Shop is the perfect spot to go, and I don't care if it's summer, fall, winter. Right now it's the fall sale, and yes, I'm fully aware that that front is moving in right now. It's getting colder. Here's the great thing. For those guys who have to tend to the fire and they're set to sit out there to make sure the fire gets right and they put their gloves on and the coats and like, this barbecue sure is good, and they're freezing cold, here's what I do. I set my temperature where I want, and when it gets there, I go out there and put my ribs on. I go out and put my brisket on. And then I set my internal thermometer right there in the briskets or the ribs or the beef tenderloin, the chicken, whatever, I pork chop, whatever it is. And then I go back inside and I monitor it on my phone so I know exactly when the internal temperature is where I want it to be. Turns out perfect every time. And I'm just sitting in there having a drink, watching my games. You can do the same thing. Pits and Spitz Grills, Green Mountain, Traeger, they're all on sale right now. If you're looking for wood pellet grills, they also, of course, have your friends over at Kamado Joe for ceramic cookers and many, many more. Weber gas grills, whatever type of grill that you're looking for, they have it. And if you're not sure what you're looking for and you're a novice, They say, come on in. We will be the one-stop shop for you for all your seasoning and marinades and grills and wood pellets and wood and charcoal. They've got it all for you right there at Texas Star Grill Shop. 2045 Southwest Freeway right there at Shepherd. Or if you're in Spring, you can head to Louetta location, and they will get you taken care of. Assembly and delivery is absolutely free, and they will never be undersold for any of the grills that they have in their store. Go to TexasStarGrillShop.com.